My favorite, this is so funny, it's so stupid. So, I go to Orange Theory Fitness sometimes, and last year around this time, I did the try, which is like a dry triathlon or whatever. But at the end, I didn't feel like I could make it on the treadmill. I was like, I'm gonna, this is the end. So they ask you what your hype song is, and I said Joseph of the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat Mega Mix. And they put it
Amazing.
on. They put
That's
it on. I was like, you gotta go to the
amazing.
middle. They put it on right at the beginning. I was like,
Oh
no, you can't start at the beginning unless we're
my
gonna
God. Go
listen
three
to
minutes
9 minutes.
in. Go 3 minutes
I was like, you
in.
gotta go, you gotta start in the middle.
Hello and welcome to episode 111. Welcome to episode 111 of Theater Nerds.
I'm your host, Rachel Jones.
And I'm your other host, Taylor Reed.
And that's our other host, Eli.
That's right, Eli. More on that later. Theater Nerds is a podcast about our obsessions with theater, where we will explore all aspects of theater, musicals, and everything in between.
This podcast is not set up to be a deep dive into technique or theater history, but we're hopeful that no matter if you're an enthusiast like us, or if you've only seen your April Showers production of The Notebook Junior, you'll enjoy this podcast. So cue the orchestra and come nerd out with us.
In case you guys didn't know, you can find us on all major podcast platforms.
That's right. You can and you should for this spring. You should leave us a Spotify review or an Apple Podcast review so you can help other theater nerds out there find this podcast.
That's right. To find out more about the Theater Nerd cult, check us out at theaternerdpod.com, or you can also find us on Instagram and Threads at Theater Nerd Pod, and on Facebook at Theater Nerd Podcast.
In today's episode, we're discussing March Musical Madness Elite 8.
All right, Rachel, here we are. Yeah,
oh,
that's right.
Wait, that's so funny because I just watched Theater Camp again recently.
And
that's
I need to rewatch it.
That's
I've
what he does at the
it
beginning.
Once, and it made my top 10 and I need to of last year, and I need to rewatch it.
I've now
it.
Seen it three times. I highly recommend. But at the beginning, he goes, when he's trying to get everyone to be quiet, he goes, beep, 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 beep.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah, so good. Maybe I'll make everyone, if I have a get together, make everyone watch it for my birthday.
Yes, it's such a good show. Yeah. It's so funny. It's so funny.
You know what I was thinking, though? Because A League of Their Own is like one of my favorite movies. Have you ever seen A League of Their Own?
With of Tom course.
Hanks? I know your love of Tom Hanks.
Of course, I love
we
Tom Hanks.
We should do a whole episode on what musical Tom Hanks should be in.
Amazing.
He's never done, well, I guess... He did, what's that movie he did, the one he directed, that's like in the 50s, and doesn't it have music in it?
Oh, when he's, with the band?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know
shoot.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, the strain, something of, hold on.
Just gotta have it, just gotta do with love or something.
No, do that thing you do, that thing you do.
That thing you do, yeah. That was kind of a musical, right?
I don't know. More like, okay. I don't know.
If you guys hear some stuff in the background, it's our third guest.
We have
guest.
A third,
it's our third host.
Host.
Our third guest. Oh my gosh. Our third host today is my child, Elijah, or Eli, as we like to say. He is just babbling away. He did not want to take a nap today. So,
yeah.
If you guys hear
him.
He's
part of it now.
Yeah, he has lots of thoughts on these final four.
He does, and he has thoughts on our buzz because we have a lot of buzz this week. Because
he
somehow
he did vote this week on the March Musical.
Oh yeah, he was like this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we do have lots of buzz, which I was for some reason surprised about because I just kept typing, like I just kept scrolling on Broadway World, and I was like, wow, there was a lot this week.
And I feel like every week we do this, and every week I'm like, why are there so many things? There are so many things.
Yeah, we do it every week. I hope that you got my reference of April Showers, The Notebook Junior, because it rains in The Notebook. Because it rains
on stage.
Yes, that's right.
On stage,
and there's also like a creek. There's like a little creek in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I need everyone to manifest that I get tickets to this show. Thank you.
Manifest.
If you are in New York and you're hearing this on April 8th or 9th, you should reach out to me because I will be in New York that week, this current week, and for a few days. And I don't have tickets to any shows yet, and I'm going to see at least 3 shows. So you let me know.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're gonna, of course, do our Rachel's Tales Adventures from New York segment. We always do when she comes back. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, and Taylor just saw Hadestown, so that was good.
Did you see Hadestown? Loved it. Absolutely thought it was wonderful. But they need some better diction. Just wanna put that up.
Yeah, and I think what's funny is that I had told Taylor, I don't know if this got in the podcast recording last week, but I went to see Annie, and I felt like Annie ran through her lines. She was amazing at singing, but she ran through her lines. And it just is one of those moments where it would be helpful if tour management had a little bit more of like a review. I get that you're doing this, you're traveling, you forget, you know, your memory takes over and you're just, you know, what you're doing takes over. Yeah. So you're less aware of like how to be present. And that happens also on Broadway. But I think it's easier for it to happen when you're touring because you are going to a new place every time and you don't know exactly how you should say something. So like if you said it with great diction in a place in Atlanta, it might not be the same as when you come to Nashville and the sound system is different. And yeah, anyway, that's my 2 cents about how I know that those actors work really hard, but I also wish that the management was a little bit like the artistic direction had some more, just check in.
They need some more notes,
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are, there it is. We are going to, of course, get to our March Musical Madness, the songs edition. There's lots to discuss about this final 4.
I am nervous.
So nervous. Nervous Nelly, that's right. Nervous Nelly from South Pacific, isn't that her name?
Oh, I don't know, really? Is she from South Pacific?
Isn't that the main character's name?
Really?
Yeah. Nelly? Wait, maybe I'm wrong. Let me look this up.
Oh, it really is. I'm looking at RodgersandHammerstein.com. How come I didn't know this?
I don't know. How do you not know your Rodgers and Hammerstein?
How do trivia? I not know specifically South Pacific Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay,
Coming back to me. But of course, we need to get to our current Broadway theater news segment. What's the buzz?
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
What's no, now he says nothing.
Yeah,
now.
I know. I point the microphone to Eli, and then he says nothing. Wait, here we go. Here we go. There we go. He's so excited. Especially for this first piece of buzz. He is very
excited. Oh, he's excited about this one?
Yeah, he's a big fan. Rachel, do you want to take it away?
He's a big fan of Black Swan, which is now Black Swan the musical, which is we officially have casting beginning and a workshop that's gonna happen at some point this year. That's very interesting to me. What's even more interesting is that we had a survey for season subscribers in my neck of the woods and asking people, they asked us to rank new potential shows that might tour within the next 2 seasons, and Black Swan was on there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I was wondering where this was going. I was like, huh?
Hello. So I'm intrigued by this. I've seen the movie 1 time. This is based off of the movie, right?
Yeah, based off the movie. I mean, you seen the movie?
Yes, once. With Keira Knightley, right?
It's a lot. No. Natalie Portman.
Yep. They're in my brain. They're the same person.
Literally so many. Natalie Portman, every interview I've seen where they ask her, like, who do you get mistaken for? She's like, Keira Knightley. I was like, what?
That's me. That's me the same, literally right now. Yeah.
And Mila Kunis, Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm intrigued. What about you? How do you feel, Taylor?
I am definitely intrigued. Do we know the people, who's writing it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
We'll look
either.
It up while we talk.
No, it feels like Duncan Sheik, would be really good at this material. It's such a weird.
But are they going to use the music from the Black Swan, the ballet?
I don't know. They'll have to get the rights.
It's Darren Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky is the director of the movie.
He said.
Wow. I wonder if he's also doing it on stage. That's interesting.
I don't know.
And then also, you have to get someone, obviously, who can do ballet, but then who can also sing. Which I guess maybe isn't that.
Let me read the Broadway World what it says. Okay. The Broadway World. Okay. It's going to take place. The workshop's going to take place July 1 through July 20th. And they're currently seeking actors. And choreographed by Sonia Tehi, which is the person who did Moulin Rouge.
Okay. Very different.
Then Dave Malloy, who wrote Great Comet and Moby Dick.
Okay.
Will be the score. Love this. And then book from Jen Silverman, who did Witch.
And love that.
It says Aronofsky revealed that he was at work adapting the musical into a musical. I don't know if he's going to be directing. He doesn't say.
He's a very interesting director. I mean, he does.
Produced by Kevin McCollum from American Rep Theater. That makes more sense.
Oh, okay.
And Darren Aronofsky is going to also be a producer.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. There we go.
Well, he did The Whale that came out with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of other Mother with Jennifer Lawrence. He's done a lot of weird movies.
So that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We also got our full cast for Bye Bye Birdie at the Kennedy Center, as Rachel has lots of thoughts about this, as we know.
Yeah,
but starring Caroline Aaron from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. We love her.
Amazing.
Richard Kind, Ashlyn Maddox, and Jennifer Laura Thompson from Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. Yes, you have lots of thoughts.
And I'm so excited. Well, I'm excited for this cast. I just once again want to say.
Yeah, Richard Kind is wild.
I know. Well, are we rewriting some of the show?
Right.
Not that much of the show has to be reworked. Just a little bit. And but there is an entire song that the lyrics would need to be updated.
Well, maybe they're just cutting it. Could they just cut that song?
They could cut the song. They'd have to still change some of the other words around the one character. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I really, because I am a girl who really loves Bye Bye Birdie. I loved the movie. I love it so much that my sister painted Toms that have Bye Bye, for me, the shoes that have Bye Bye Birdie on them. I remember I used to wear them to Wizard of Oz rehearsals and stuff.
Love this.
And I love them. I love the show so much, and I want it to succeed because I think it's such a fun show. Telephone Hour is one of the best musical productions, in my opinion. But it just, the show, I don't think can age into current day. So I'm personally intrigued, and I hope that it does well.
Yeah, maybe we'll do an episode on what shows don't age well.
South Pacific.
Like we mentioned, Nelly Furtado.
What was the other one? Miss Saigon. Those are my top three.
Well, both of them have had revivals in the past 10 years.
I know.
creatives. Okay, this was so weird because I was wasn't this announced already a year ago? But creatives for Gatsby and American Myth at American Rep starting May 23rd were revealed. Of course, directed by Rachel Shavakian, and music and lyrics by Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine.
Yes.
I'm super excited about this, but I was when are we going to get this cast? Apparently, I sent Rachel this reel by Paul Wontorek of Broadway.com. Did you watch this, Rachel? mm-hmm. of him talking about the two Gatsbys and like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do about this, basically?
And my, I watched it because my response back to you was, do you think that one could beget sales for the other?
Oh, right, right.
Well, because my, basically my response back to Taylor on the thought of like, what about having two Gatsbys besides it's very like Smash the Musical-esque.
Yes.
Is it that lives, like,
this is Bombshell.
Yeah. Is it going to be a mechanism where people want to go see both shows? Right? Like, will people hear about this buzz enough? And because The Great Gatsby is a, it's like Romeo and Juliet. It's something that people know. It's like in the ether. It is the book that every 11th grader reads in like US English class. And like, so like, it's really ingrained. People know the story already.
Yeah.
And then you had that amazing movie that came out when you and I were in high school. And so you have,
which but, I've but heard is basically the Jeremy Jordan one, like the Leo movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, like, will people want to be like, you know what? I want to see both and see which one I like better.
Oh, I think so.
Well, and so I people are like, well, like, one is going to get more success than the other. Well, maybe in this Broadway season, like, maybe we will see this, The Great Gatsby, get more Tony hats than the other, because the other isn't on Broadway yet. But what will happen next season? Is it possible that you could have the same kind of musical that like wins for Tony Award 2 years in a row, and it's a different adaptation of the same story?
That would be wild. And I wonder if the Jeremy Jordan one had delayed and come out next season, how it just would have been crazy if both of them were on Broadway at the same time. And
well, they like, both still can be on Broadway at the same time. That's true. My point. True. We'll see.
I just want to know, because Paul Wontorek mentioned that there is casting, like they've already casted for the show for the American Rep company, but they haven't announced it yet. And also it's in like a month. So
you want to know why?
Why? Tell me why.
I wonder, I have two thoughts. One is kinder than the other. My first kind thought is that they're trying to let The Great Gatsby open.
That is kind.
And they could be kind for good or bad reasons, right? Like I said, it could be that if they create a buzz and then they are on the back wave of that buzz, then actually Gatsby, the American myth or whatever, actually wins out. The second is that because they don't want to be overshadowed. So if they announce their cast and then The Great Gatsby opens and we have critic reviews, and then that's overshadowed the announcement of the casting. Mm-hmm. So there is an entire month between when The Great Gatsby on Broadway opens and Gatsby opens.
Yeah. I love that they just decided to call themselves Gatsby. It's pretty gutsy. And I'm just excited to see who the cast is. That's what, like, I'm sure we'll find out in the next month.
And I want to say, do you think it's Lea Michele?
As Daisy?
Mm-hmm.
But she's pregnant right now. Can she, I mean, like, does she want to do a show while she's 5 months pregnant?
I don't know. Lindsay Mendez is doing a show, finishing her run.
That is true. I wonder if Lindsay Mendez was at a doctor's appointment when you saw Rarely We Roll One.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's funny. Or she just wasn't feeling well.
That's true.
Like Katie Rose Clark, who had to stop and couldn't come back for Act Two, where she does the majority of her lines. So I felt bad.
That is wild. That is so wild.
That's live theater.
Live theater, everyone.
Live theater. Okay.
I just wanted to put this in because I thought it was fun to think about. Like Bernadette Peters put one that said it.
Yes. Tell them what Bernadette Peters said.
Bernadette Peters said that she would rather play Sweeney Todd than Mrs. Lovett, which I want to see this be manifested. And
me too.
I think it would be amazing. And honestly, I think
don't
Stephen
close
Sondheim,
Sweeney Todd. Just put Bernadette Peters in.
And I think Stephen Sondheim would absolutely, maybe like a Bernadette Peters and then Patti LuPone as Mrs. Lovett.
The two like, of them I think, could never.
I think Sondheim would be so happy with that.
I think it's interesting because I wonder, I didn't read the interview or listen to the interview, but I wonder if this was, if there was any discussion about how she was feeling about Aaron having to change the key a half step for him to be Sweeney Todd.
Right.
Because we think so much about, like, if we sing something in its original key and we do it well, then that's paying homage to the person who composed the music. But I wonder if Bernadette Peters is really saying, like, there's so much more to honor the character of not just Sweeney, but also of Sondheim.
Yeah. And also, that's just something that I think she, I feel like men and women do have little dreams of playing roles probably never could play unless it's like a, you know, gender something. But it is, I mean, we've gotten something like Company before. So, I mean, I guess it could happen one day, but
yeah,
that would be interesting.
I love it.
Kelly Barrett and Jessica Vosk are going to lead Beaches, the musical Beaches, not to be confused with Bitches, musical at Theater Calgary.
This is amazing. Jessica Vosk.
Yeah. I think she's been with it like since the beginning, basically, of the workshop.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think Kelly Barrett is new maybe, but very exciting. This next one is just wild to me. What do you think?
Once again, will say, I guess I was wrong, guys. I don't know. Hollywood's not giving people enough jobs.
No, they're not. They're not.
I was like, the writer's strike will surely cure us from having Hollywood actors.
Three of these people, the first three people are like, they're like well-known, but like, I feel like they're kind of mid-level stars.
The first three?
Yes, the first three. Like, they're people know, but they're not like A-list, like Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya.
No, the first like, three people, I know, but like, I think you need to, at least the second one, that's a big name.
Yeah, but it was a big name 20 years ago, but I don't know about now. Anyway.
Okay, Jim Parsons, are you going to tell them?
Yeah, Jim Parsons, Katie Holmes, and Zoe Deutsch are going to lead a revival of Our Town, starting at the Barrymore Theater on Broadway, September 17th. It's also going to star Billy Eugene Jones, Ephraim Sykes, Richard Thomas, who I saw in To Kill a Mockingbird, and Michelle Wilson will lead this revival. Lots of other players in this revival as well. I'm just excited.
Exciting.
I know Our Town is like a thing that high schools do, but I've never seen it been done. And I've never read it. So maybe we'll read it on a playback.
Yeah, we should read on a playback, and then we'll journey up to New York.
Correct. So
this is amazing.
I'm excited. It's just, I feel like it's probably hasn't been on Broadway in a while. So I'm excited to see how it does.
I am excited because as much as I hate on Hollywood actors coming to Broadway, what I do love is like people who come back to Broadway, like Jim Parsons, like back, like, you know, people who clearly respect the work and know that it's hard work. And I love when people are in interviews and like say that Broadway is the hardest work that they've ever done and they're Hollywood actors. And I love when they say that, cause I'm like, yes,
put some respect. Even Hollywood actors that haven't done Broadway are like, Broadway's hard.
I know, like, but put some respect on Broadway. We need to pay our actors more. Anyway, this is a whole other side tangent, but I'm really excited. I can't wait. I love that we're continuing to get things for the fall. It makes me really excited because one thing that could happen that has happened in the past related to the pendulum swing of openings and closing is that we have a stack year. And then the next year is like cricket,
right.
One show.
I feel like already the fall is pretty stacked. And
I'm excited. This means that people are investing in shows. People are putting money into shows.
And we haven't even gotten a Smash announcement yet as far as
when
it's opening. I wonder if they're
Queen of Versailles.
Queen of Versailles. I wonder if they're waiting on a specific theater that they want for Smash. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Maybe like the booth, or not the booth. Where the Schubert? I wonder if they're waiting for the Schubert because that's a pretty big theater.
That is it. Where. What's there right now? Spamalot.
Spamalot, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this was so crazy. I was so like, crazy. I love this.
Yeah. Also, well, you mentioned this and then I'll talk about something I watched with them recently.
Okay. I love how you misspelled. You didn't write Jonathan Groff's. You put Jonathan
Groff. Oh, I did. Oh my gosh. I wrote it wrong. Jonathan Groff is what I wrote.
I love it. Okay. Daniel Radcliffe, Jonathan Groff, Lindsay Mendez, all three of them, the dynamic trio, will host the Outer Critics Circle nominations, which will be happening the 23rd of April, a week before. A weekish before Tony and Nam.
One thing, it is officially award season.
Critic season.
For Tony's for Tony, which is very exciting. I mean, it's coming fast. The nominations come out in less than a month. So, and lots of shows still need to open, which is wild.
As I named seven.
Yes. What was I going to say? I just had this thought literally right now. What if the Tony Awards do just like they did with the Matildas and give all three of them a special award?
Daniel Radcliffe, Lindsay.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, we'll just do what we did with the Matildas.
If any theater critic, any Tony person listens to this podcast, hear me when I say.
Well, as we learned last week, Rachel, you're a Tony voter.
I'm a Tony voter. Yeah. Well, but what I need someone to listen to me when I say, because I say a lot of things, but this, I really mean this specifically.
Yeah, we do say a lot of
things. We desperately need to make a category for best press, media, whatever it is, whatever we want to call it, because marketing, and the marketing team should get, you know, recognition, but so should the people going on press tour. Obviously, Shuck should have won. But like things that I'm thinking about, even like Gutenberg could then be nominated for that. And, you know, like Marilee Roland.
Well, Gatsby's doing a pretty good job too.
I know. Yeah. But also I want to shout out Water for Elephants. That I know people have lots of opinions about this, but I'm obsessed with the behind the scenes. It's really intriguing to me. It's really getting me interested in knowing what's going on. And I can't wait to work for a theater company now where I get to see the behind the scenes on what we do with our marketing. But I just want to say that I think that we need to recognize that that is a big part of the industry that we often overlook, because you have to get people in seats. Capacity, like how much your ticket price is one thing, but if you're at 65% capacity, that looks bad. That is bad. People then don't want to come to your show. We can see the capacity reports every week, just like when we see the Broadway grosses. So I just want to throw that out there that they're, and Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan Groff and Lindsay Mendez deserve, their marketing team and the three of them also deserve a big shout out.
And also that show's been going for a while. I mean, 6 months. And They're still doing press interviews. They're still doing press. Like, it's incredible. They are smart. I recently watched I'll link it in the show notes. Seth Rudesky. Did you listen to it or watch it?
Where they tried to sing each other's parts and Jonathan Groff literally could not do it.
My word. I absolutely loved this. And also, as I mentioned, Josh Horowitz doing a Q&A with them, which I'm hoping will come out soon. But I absolutely loved it. That Seth Rudesky just cracks me up. Get him on the show. Funny. Come on,
Seth. Get him on the show. Come on, Seth Rudesky.
Yeah, we love you. Last but not least, we have our final two. Next to Normal, Hadestown, Guys and Dolls, The Little Big Things, Operation Mincemeat, which is our alternate title for this podcast.
Have you listened to that music? Because it's low-key amazing. I've listened to all of these things now, just in case you were wondering.
And A Strange Loop. Well, I don't know what I was writing here. I must have been like. Will perform at the 2024 Olivier Awards on Sunday, April 14th, which is so soon.
Yes, it's between now and the next episode. Yeah. So next episode at the beginning, we'll have to have a little here's what you missed on Glee version.
Yeah,
or maybe two episodes from now.
Here's what you missed on the Olivier Awards. Hosted by Hannah Waddingham. Of Ted Lasso, of course. We love her. It's funny that there's Ariana DeBose hosting the Tonys and Hannah Waddingham hosting the Olivier. And I would love to do a little switcheroo. Let's have Hannah Waddingham host the Tonys.
I love a switcheroo.
We'll have Hannah Waddingham come to the Tonys and just do a bit with Ariana.
I love it.
And then picks of, I did want to mention this, the Les Mis tour.
Oh, good.
With our friend Jake Smith, who we shout out. We love, we performed with in high school. There's pics of him on Broadway World, which is so crazy. I was like, what the actual heck?
You're like, I know him.
Yeah, in playing Marius right now on the tour. He's coming to Virginia. If there are any people in Virginia that want to go see him. And then pictures of Jinx Monsoon and Corbin Blue in Little Shop of Horrors.
And it looks amazing. And the first bows were so sweet.
Yeah.
And I'm just really excited. Once again, we'll say I really didn't think this show was going to last this long off Broadway the way that they've been running
it's crazy.
I know, because I saw it before the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Hades, like we're talking about Hadestown.
And I considered, you know, I'm going to Broadway or Broadway this week, and I considered, like, well, what if I just go see Little Shop of Horrors again? That's true. I just want to say, like, marketing is everything. Smaller houses really do help. Right. Like I feel very intimate when you go in. Yeah. It's very intimate experience. And I think that breeds the desire to go back. And I am intrigued by where we're going. And I think mostly from all of our buzz, I'm most excited to see what happens at the Olivier Awards this coming up week, because I think that there are some shows that are opening in the UK this week or next week, and some shows that we'll see, like Operation Mincemeat. And even the Next to Normal. And I want to see how they're reviewed, because I think that they might be headed our way.
Yeah. And also, I recently read a review of Merrily We Roll Along, and they said that the off-Broadway version, which was in a much smaller house, didn't work for them. But once it moved to Broadway, and maybe they made some changes too, it worked. Like, it was like a 5 out of 5 for them once it moved to Broadway. Which I feel like is interesting. So,
because that's often not how people feel.
Yes, it's usually
that they lose some of the But I mean, that's true. Like I've seen shows where I'm like, this is too small. This is too small of a space. You can do so much more. And we talked last week about Hercules. It didn't work because they didn't do enough. They didn't do enough the first time, or they did too much rather, but not enough. And now in Hamburg, there's no doubt in my mind that within the next year, that's coming to Broadway.
Oh, I hope so.
Me too.
And also, Disney's been working on a Princess Bride musical for the past 12 years, and I want it. I want it, damn it.
So, Disney, if you're listening, we have lots of demands this week. This week, we are just pointing things out and saying, I want that, just like Eli's doing currently with the microphone.
Yeah, he's trying to eat. Oh, there he is. He's trying to eat the microphone, which I get it.
It looks fun.
All right. Now we are going to transition to our March Musical Madness into the Final Four. I'm so excited. I thought we could kind of briefly discuss the shows and like our feeling around the shows this week.
Yes. You have to remind me what the four shows are.
Well, our openers are, and for those that are also listening, we took a little break and I gave my baby some peanut butter, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, cute.
the openers are Oh My God, You Guys versus Any Dream Will Do. The dark horse of the March Madness.
Literally.
Yeah, okay. Literally the dark Joseph horse. Yeah, multicolored horse.
Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
The ballads are Four Good versus Bring Him Home.
Okay.
So great. The showstoppers. I mean, just to go back. Four Good, of course, Wicked. So two, honestly, powerhouse shows, Wicked versus Les Mis. It's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Showstoppers, Independently Owned versus On My Own. Own songs, which we've talked about. When I told my wife about the showstoppers, she was like, is On My Own a showstopper? And I was like...
You were like rude.
She was like, isn't that a ballad? And I was like, there's like 10 ballads in Les Mis.
Yeah, ballads can be showstoppers.
It's true.
Showstoppers can be ballads.
Yes, showstoppers can be ballads. But can a ballad be a showstopper?
It can.
I guess that's what we're proving. And in closures, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story versus Goodbye Until Tomorrow from the last 5 years.
So, Hamilton in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Legally Blonde, I recently, you know, oh my God, you guys from Legally Blonde, I recently on my memories on Facebook saw 12 years ago, you saw Legally Blonde in London. I saw it in London. Have we talked about this?
I don't think so. I mean, you've talked about it a little bit. I'm not sure you've talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I had this huge playbill because Rachel and I both collect playbills. It's like a huge playbill. It's like a, it's not, it doesn't fit.
It's like a big program.
Yeah, it's like a huge program. And
because in the UK, you have to buy your program.
I think I bought it. Yeah.
You do. You have to. In the UK, you have to buy your program.
Yeah. And it was my siblings and I went. I don't think my parents went. And because I was a sophomore in high school, maybe a junior. I think I was a junior. And we got to meet a lot of the cast afterwards, and I was shook at Elwood's British accent.
That's the best.
Because her American accent was freaking amazing. And I was like, yeah. What? This is incredible. And then the guy who played Warner wasn't that great. I can't remember anyone else, but the girl who played Al was amazing. She was so good. Mm-hmm. And we had fun, and my brother ordered a rum and coke, and we thought it was illegal, but it was not because he was of age. So,
did you have ice cream at intermission?
Did I have ice cream? I don't think I did. No.
So that's my favorite part about London, about theater in the West End, is that they come around and you can have intermission snacks or whatever. You can go to like the car, like the place.
Right.
But they come around like in stadiums, in like in baseball stadiums in America, right. But specifically just to sell you programs and ice cream at intermission.
I don't know if, I don't remember that. I don't know if I remember that, but it was memorable. I mean, we've talked about Legally Blonde on the show. We did a whole deep dive, but how do you feel about this going on in this March Musical Madness being in the final eight?
I feel great about it being in the Elite Eight. I think here's the thing about Legally Blonde, which I think I might have mentioned. I saw the original cast on Broadway, so I'm jaded. And it was incredible, and I loved it a lot. And I think that this show is so fun. Like I've now seen it two other times outside of Broadway in professional, one in a professional setting and one in a like college-y semi-professional setting.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's an ensemble show and I love ensemble shows. And I also think it has just such a fun story. Like I go home feeling good about like, there's points when I like the very finale, like low key, like little tears be flowing down my face, but it's like a great show. It has a lot of moments in it where you like have a moment where you're like, oh, let me think about who I am and what this is. But most of the time it's just entertaining and it's funny and it's cute. Yeah. And I love that. I love that so much. Mm-hmm. I think that when I think about American musicals, it's a very American musical. It's a very new American musical. And I think it's pretty palatable. And specifically this song is the best song.
Yeah.
I think The Bend and Snap is a popular song, maybe. But this song is, I think, the best song of the show.
Wild.
I think that it should be known for this song.
Interesting. Interesting.
There are a lot of other good songs. I'm not distancing myself. I listen. So one fun fact about me is that I'm crazy. And I exhibit that by I've now listened to all of the albums of our current shows in order.
Because I got
obsessed and I kept hearing the same song. But I had to listen. And I think start to finish this musical is great. But I really love this song specifically.
And it
echoes. You know, I talked about I love how it echoes throughout the show.
Yeah, for sure. Well, on the other spectrum that also made it to our Elite Eight, we have Any Dream Will Do, The Dark Horse, which I feel
This is wild.
Yeah, Joseph is also kind of an ensemble heavy show. And there's lots for people, to do in that show. And
yeah, it's a big, absolutely.
It's a big regional theater show, children's theater show that a lot of theaters do. And we, like we've talked about, we did it. It was so much fun to perform. I think it's really fun. I mean, we put it together in 2 weeks, which is kind of insane.
It's a super fun show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The music is so fun. Like, this is what's wild to me, Taylor. Mm-hmm. The music is so fun. It's so insane. And this opening song, I put this on the list, but I thought it would be like gone the first week. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that it was going to be gone. For
again, Johnny Osmond power.
First of all, for this to be the song from the show, you know, like the Joseph Megamix, anyone who knows me knows that's my hype song. When I feel bad, I'm gonna put that 9-minute song on. I'm listening to it start to finish. I literally
like crying in her apartment and she's like listening to the Megamix.
Wait, my favorite. This is so funny. It's so stupid. So I go to Orange Theory Fitness sometimes. And last year around this time, I did the Dry Try, which is like a dry triathlon or whatever. But at the end, I didn't feel like I could make it on the treadmill. I was like, this is the end. So they ask you what your hype song is. And I said, Joseph of the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat Megamix. And they put it on. I was like, you got to go to the middle. They put it on right at the beginning. I was like, well, you can't start at the beginning unless we're going to
Go three minutes in.
I was like, you got to go. You got to start in the middle. Oh, that, my gosh.
That, what's so funny about that is that reminds me of like the Elle Woods, Search for Elle Woods show with Ron, of all the Elle Woods like on the bicycles with Seth Rudetsky. Amazing.
Wait, my favorite is there's this person on TikTok, and I got to find if I can find the link. But there's this person on TikTok who's been debunking things from that show because that one person who had that terrible time singing on the bike, she's singing the alto line from that musical. And they put it together like she was supposed to be singing the soprano line, and she was just super off. Gosh. She's singing the alto line, and someone was like, this is the alto line, and she was off, but like she's not as off as you think.
Right.
And I was like, see, I love that, because that poor girl, in my mind, she was written off. I was like, girl, you. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Hilarious. Okay. Well, do you have an idea of what moved along?
I hope that it's, oh my God, you guys, but I don't know anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't even know. The openers are a big surprise. Well, 62% of our listenership voted for, oh my God, you guys, to move on to the final four versus 38% for any dream
will do. 62 is a lot, but not as much as I thought it could be.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Some of these also, I just want to say, were very close. And I think either one or two of them, I just want to be transparent, that I went on and I was going to get the results, you know, on the day that it was, you know, it was over 24 hours of it being on our Instagram. And it was still at 50% and 50%, some of them. And I went and voted on it. But then I think it got more, like more people voted on it after that. Because these numbers are a little bit higher. I think this next one, though, may have been me choosing the winner.
You? Okay, well, I'm nervous.
I might have been the deciding factor. Okay, but Ballad, of course. Yeah.
Oh, Bring Him Home.
Yeah, Bring Him Home and For Good. We have, of course, For Good from Wicked. I mean, what else can we say about Wicked that we haven't already said?
That we haven't already talked immensely about.
Yeah, of course, this is the year of Wicked. The year of the Wicked movie. Wait, Eli dropped his tea there. Let me pick it up.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yes. What can we say that we haven't already said about Wicked? We've done a whole deep dive on it. Our second episode. And yeah, you guys should go back and listen to that. We had so much fun with it. But like, I mean, I said last week, I think I said For Good may be like one of my favorite songs in the show, at least top three, maybe, or top two.
It's just such a good, it's overdone, but it's just such a good song. It's such a good song. It's such a great way to end a show. I know this is the ballad, so we're not talking about closers. Wait, is this? No, this is the ballad. I was like, help.
I think that it solidifies what this show is about, and in a way that Taylor and I believe, which other people can believe whatever they want, but that this show is quintessentially about the friendship of two women, and the challenges of life within friendship. And so I think this song really solidifies that theme and that message, and just knowing that, like, no matter where the story goes next, these two women have changed for the better. You know, they know each other, and therefore the story is never the same. I love that, and I love thinking about it that way. And it's a powerhouse of a show. It is the classic of our age.
Yeah, for sure. And I love, like, what you said about it. It really shows, like, that the show is ultimately about, like, their friendship.
Right.
And, like, these two women coming together. Mm-hmm. And then Bring Him Home on the opposite is, like, really, like we said, like, prayer or lullaby, as I said last week.
And I was like, it's a prayer. And Taylor's like, it's a lullaby.
Yeah. And Les Mis, funny enough, you know, there's two Les Mis songs in our Elite Eight.
Which
and
is crazy to me.
Was a final contender last year on our March Musical Madness. So I think it's just a show. It's obviously a timeless classic, and we've talked about it on our La La Land for the movie. But it's these two songs in particular, I think, are just songs that the two songs from Les Mis, Bring Him Home and On My Own, that are in the Elite Eight, are kind of representative of. I don't know, maybe if the show as a whole, because, like, One Day More is kind of like, this is what the show is ultimately, or, like, Do You Hear the People Sing? Mm-hmm. But they're just such, like, sweeping, like, epic songs, even though they're also both intimate songs, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, it is that part of, like, it solidifies the theme of the show and is also a small moment in it. Bring Him Home is so gorgeous because specifically with the character, because at the beginning he was about helping himself get out of this space, and now he's asking this on behalf of someone else. He's basically saying, like, paying it forward, the justice, the mercy, all of these things I want. I rather have him have than me. And it honestly, melodically, if I'm going to pick out of these two songs, melodically, Bring Him Home is a gorgeously orchestrated song.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So totally. If I were to guess what moved on, it would be that.
Well, we have 54%.
Oh my gosh.
Versus 46%. So, like I said, our showstoppers are pretty close too. This is maybe the closest though. 54% chose For Good from Wicked.
My God.
Beating out Jean Valjean, Convict, 46%, Bring Him Home. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Actually, that's a shock for me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it, but that's a shock.
So, oh my God, you guys will face off For Good.
Crying.
Wild. Next we have our showstoppers, independently owned. Shit,
Rachel, every time I do this.
Yeah, it's all blurry. It's all blurry. You gotta put it in front of your head. You gotta put it in front of your face.
Oh, okay. Wait, let me do the get shucked. It's like blurring it out as if it's a bad word.
There we go. Get shucked. Yeah, it is. And then On My Own.
Not a sponsor.
As we mentioned, On My Own, my favorite song ever written.
And Taylor's favorite song.
And independently owned, Rachel's favorite song ever written. No.
I'm not sure it's my favorite song ever written, to be clear. If I were to pick an Alex Newell song, this isn't even my favorite. I think Mama Will Provide is my favorite Alex song. But independently owned,
independently owned was, like, written for Alex Newell.
I know.
Mama Will Provide wasn't written for them.
I think here's my quick little moment about it. I think that independently owned is going to be in the ether in a way that is even beyond the show. Like, people probably are not going to remember Shucked, to be honest. I hate that. Sad. R.I.P. But
yeah.
I mean, it'll tour and we will see, and it might go back. It might, and it's going to West End. I'm not saying it's over. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's over. I'm just saying it currently doesn't have the Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, Wicked vibe, Hadestown vibe. Okay.
Yeah. Hamilton.
But right. Hamilton, obviously, Hamilton vibe. But I do think that this song will be one of those songs on like the best Broadway hits where you're like, I don't even know what show that's from, but I love that song. Like, yeah. Big Spender. I've never seen Sweet Charity. Mm-hmm. In my life, and I know every word to Big Spender.
Yeah, we're sending the clowns.
Yes, because it's on one of those mixtapes, because it's always played, because like it just is a classic, and I know it. Mm-hmm. Just like washing that man right out of my hair, you know. Yeah. I have some type of feeling about that. Nelly. But you know what I mean? Right. Like, always full circle to Nelly. But I think song does that.
Yeah, I would argue On My Own is maybe the best song in Les Mis. Oh, there's so many great songs in Les Mis, but it's definitely my favorite. I think
Master of the Eponine, House maybe is my favorite song. I think
Eponine is like her character, the way it's like written is just so beautiful, and the way she comes back at the end, we've talked about this, how she comes back at the end is just so beautiful. But also I think Independently Owned may be the best song of Shucked.
I agree.
And especially the way that Alex Newell performs.
Which is funny because you like Maybe Love the best.
I do love Maybe Love. Yeah, I do love Maybe Love. But I do think I'm interested to see how other performers perform Independently Owned, because it's so tailored to Alex Newell.
Mm-hmm. So, we'll find out in the tour. We will. You and I both see the tour.
The Colonel's Tour, is that what it's called? Yeah. Yeah.
I once again want to say the marketing is top tier. Pay the people more.
It's true. Pay them more. 45% versus 55%.
I hate this.
55% chose On My Own from Les Miserables.
Bye.
We got one Les Mis in the final.
Yeah, it's true. At least we don't have two, because I would be annoyed low-key.
Yeah. But as I said, I knew On My Own was going to go on to the final round. So, yeah.
That's true.
I may have called all this final four from the beginning.
We got to go back and listen, because I don't remember what you called. We
got to go back. So, Independently Owned getting 45%. Still, I mean, it was very close. Very close. And finally, our closers. This is the biggest knockout of... like the biggest knockout of the season, maybe. I mean, it's
but
like
this is sad. It's sad because they just people don't know the last 5 years. It's sad.
You don't know. You don't know what I'm gonna say.
I do know what you're gonna say.
Again, Hamilton. What else can we say that hasn't been said from our deep dive, and also the 2 years this podcast of me just slyly talking about
of Hamilton. Taylor being like, I love Hamilton. What do I talk about as much as you talk about Hamilton and Les Mis? Is this my cat's puppet, equivalent?
Maybe.
Puppets. Not you saying puppets.
Well, cats for sure. I feel like cats is definitely.
But, a quick aside, honestly, I can't believe there's no cats.
Cats is a good comp to Hamilton, because it was like the Hamilton of its day, but we'll see how long Hamilton runs versus Cats running.
Okay. As a quick aside for Cats, my friend had an Easter brunch and there was karaoke, and his kids now love Cats the musical, which God bless. And they wanted to sing a karaoke song, so we sang Jellicle Cats. I want the record to reflect that that is a hard song to sing for karaoke.
Yes, it is, I would say. And speaking of karaoke at work, we had like, I don't know what, we were having a meeting, and for some reason they were like, let's do an icebreaker, even though we all know each other pretty well, even though I just started in this new position. And they were like, what's a song you would sing at karaoke? And I was like, well, I've never been to karaoke. But they also were like, what's a song you sing in the shower? And I said, Part of Your World from
Mermaid, or Little Mermaid,
which I do sing in the shower sometimes. On My Own is definitely also another one. But I feel like that that was a crowd that would have been like, what's that song?
Wait, what song is that?
Yeah.
Which may have been us at the brunch singing Jellicle Cats, to be clear,
for sure. Yeah. Just want to preface our third host here. I gave him my phone to play with, because now he's silent, and he's trying to take photos of himself. So that's fun.
He's so cute. I also would try to take my photos of myself, but I looked as cute as he looks.
That's true. And then goodbye until
tomorrow. I am my own opera.
We've done so many deep dives on so many of these shows.
I know. That's because we love these shows. It's not shocking.
It's true. The last 5 years. I don't think the finale is one of the best songs in the show, but it is a great song. I personally love Shmoo's song. I think is amazing. Rachel.
What's so funny is that I remember you saying this not long after we watched the movie together when it came out. And that song just didn't, I just didn't get it. I just couldn't get to it. I couldn't figure out if I liked it or hated it. Mm-hmm. And as I've grown, and Taylor and I talk about this a lot, as we come back to certain shows, we're like, oh, wait, actually, this is my favorite. Like a song I hated so much in other shows. Or like that I would skip Shmuel's song. Like I literally would go through the whole thing and just skip that one song. And now I think it's so funny and I think it's so cute and I love it so much.
It's so funny. I get the read of like, it is funny, but it's also like kind of tragic.
But he's performing for her. I think in the context, like he's trying to cheer her up. And yes, it's tragic, but like, it's just like a fun, it's a bit. It's a bit that he is doing.
Right.
And the story within the bit is a little tragic.
Yeah.
But like, he's doing a bit for her. And I find the whole song kind of cute and funny.
Well,
even
that's,
though it's super dramatic.
And that's kind of a microcosm of the entire show. And that's this finale is. I mean, it's so
this musical is just so beautiful. Well orchestrated. Yeah.
I totally agree.
I find myself in therapy quoting a lot from Next to Normal and the last 5 years. And I hope I only can hope that my therapist hope that my therapist like actually watches one of those musicals or listens to the show at some point so she can understand because I quote it constantly. But the last 5 years, just it being the forward and backward trajectory at the same time reminds me of the realities of life. And that's why that show is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievably gorgeous show.
For sure. For sure. Underrated, I would argue.
So underrated, which is why I'm going to be really upset when you tell me that Hamilton goes through.
89% of our listenership, like I said, this basketball game was a pounce versus 11%. 89%, of course, chose Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story versus 11%. Wow. Goodbye Until Tomorrow. Yeah.
So now we have Who Lives, Who Dies up against On My Own. So
correct.
Potentially the Les Mis of its time versus Les Mis.
Yeah. And then For Good versus Oh My God, You Guys.
I love this final four.
I really do love
because all one of the fun. One of the two final lists have to come from the Oh My God, You Guys and For Good. So like it can't be Les Mis versus it can't be Les Mis versus Hamilton at the end.
I think my prediction is For Good versus Who Lives, Who Dies. That's my prediction. Which is funny because that's two closers.
That is true.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of ballady.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I would be surprised if Oh My God, You Guys goes to the final round, but that would be a welcome surprise.
What about On My Own beating out Who Lives, Who Dies?
I could definitely see it happen. I mean, people love Eponine, the underdog of the story. So
people also love Les Mis.
Yes.
I don't know who our Instagram audience is, but
I don't really know either, but we'll see. We'll see. Of course, vote this week for
the final four.
The final two.
Crazy.
The final two. And then we'll have our last game in 2 weeks and we'll be done again. I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning, but it's turning into April March Madness and
fine.
You know, April.
We're unapologetic
We are unapologetic. And Eli's
so is Eli.
Just very excited about it. Yeah. Thank you, Rachel, for this March Musical Madness. And we will see you guys next week. Vote on our Instagram. Vote. That's right, Eli. Instagram.
But vote.
Yeah. All right, Rachel. Let's talk about our character of the week.
Let's do it. This is the time. This is the segment. Welcome, welcome. Mm-hmm. At the very end of every episode.
All about how my life got twisted.
That's exactly right. Where Taylor and I think about what we've been up to. We kind of let you in on how our life is, just in case we hadn't the entire podcast so far. This is the time where we pick a theater character, thing, item, show, theater adjacent thing that we are embodying this week, or that have the same thoughts, feelings, and vibes as us.
Yes, and we would also love to hear your thoughts on all the buzz that's happening. Our town coming to Broadway. Should Bernadette Peters be Sweeney Todd? Only time will tell.
Will Patti LuPone come back to Broadway with her Actors Equity to play across her as Mrs. Lovett?
Yes, exactly.
We don't know.
Will she leave her apartment with Aubrey Plaza?
Really, I can't. I literally still cannot. That still shakes me to my core.
Hilarious. And, of course, your thoughts on the March Musical Madness. Who will win the Final Four? Who will go on to the last game? Who knows? I mean, stressful. I'm slightly happy that Any Dream Will Do didn't go to the Final Four. That's all I want to say.
I would have been shocked. My socks, I would have knocked my socks off. Yeah. You know what I mean? They would have been off. Yeah.
Her Technicolor Dreamcoat would have been knocked out of her. And then, of course, we want to know your characters of the week. Comment on our social media pages. Tell us who you are this week, and you may get a shout out on a future episode. Rachel, who is your character this week?
Taylor, this week I once again am breaking all the rules, and
all the rules every time.
Yeah, and I am going to be this musical, and I'm this musical for two reasons. One, because it's new and intriguing, and I'm very interested in it, and I've listened to the music a few times, and I'm intrigued. And also because it's going to open up on the West End for on the 23rd of April. And that's close to when I start my new job. And I'm like, wow, new things are opening. I'm currently in previews, me, myself, and I can't wait to see
how things
go. And, you know, a new thing is amazing. And instead of being opening up from waitress, which I've already been, I decided I'm going to be this musical. And this musical is fun and is charming and is a rom-com. And like low-key want to bring some of that energy into my new workplace. So this week I am
rom-com energy.
Yeah, because they're love always it. So fun. Those people are fun.
I love it.
So this week I am two strangers carry a cake across New York. That's who I am this week, which is a new musical opening up in the West End this
week. Oh, okay. I was like, I've never heard of this, but you did mention it, yes.
It's great. The music is out. The EP is out, so you can listen to the music. And it's quite little cutesy and fun. I love it.
I love this. That is so much fun.
I know. Thank you.
And I hope you bring that vibe wherever you go.
Thank you. Bring the Tom Hanks vibe. Also, who doesn't want to carry a cake across New York? That sounds terrifying, but also amazing. Taylor, who are you this week? What are you?
This week, for the past 2 weeks, my wife has been back doing kind of a fuller schedule than she normally has, and I've been working. And also, she's currently this weekend, as of recording this, a little sicky Vicky. So I've been, you know, full-time dadding it, full-time working, full-time. Also, we're going to be moving in like a month. So there's lots going on.
Chaotic.
A busy time. As you can hear, Eli in the background is very worried about it.
He's like, what's my character of the week?
Yeah, his character is the baby from Incredibles. That's his character. Is Jack. But anyway, my character is someone that helps along with so many house chores. Yes. Eli wants to help explain my character. She is someone who takes care of lots of people. She gets lots of business done. And she also becomes an adopted mother, kind of just like me. And that's right. I'm Grace from Annie. That's who I am.
That's amazing. And she also becomes an adoptive mother like me was a great line. Also, I can totally see that. Grace, she's great. She's always in the background. She does be getting business done. She does be getting it done.
She is. Yeah. Always so, getting the stuff done. Thank you. Thank you very much. House spouse, as my wife likes to call me.
House spouse. Really,
yeah, that's really what it is. Well, if you guys would like to join in on our discussion, check us out at theaternerdpod.com. Or you can also find us on where? On Instagram and Threads at theaternerdpod and on Facebook at theaternerdpodcast.
Eli, you want to say it? Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Literally, as soon as we give him the mic, he's like, I'm good.
Silent.
Yep. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.